use this car. I just thoroughly enjoy being with Joe again. And I've had sweet thoughts of him and appreciate so much the Lord blessing me with dear ones like him and others that I've had fellowship with in my life. Scripture says a day in his court is better than a thousand. And I don't know and don't believe that means adding literal days. But it makes the day you have to be as valuable and as meaningful as a thousand days. It enriches your life. It builds up your life. It gives your life purpose and meaning. And that is what the Lord has done in allowing us to have his courts that we can come into and have fellowship with the Lord. I've enjoyed that this morning. Come one more time and sing hymns that honor him and see you dear ones that I love so very much. And I grieve with you in the sense of the loss that you feel, but I so much appreciated the way Brother Joe approached his words as I'm rejoicing with the sister. I'm rejoicing with the sister. It's a lot better than grieving with the brethren to be rejoicing with the sister. That little sister's at home in glory. She's no longer seeing through a glass darkly. She's seeing him face to face. She's no longer making an effort to praise him the best she can for all that he had done for her. She really sees today what he did for her. And she's able, with a pure, clear voice and a pure, clear mind and a pure, clear heart, to thank him. Really thank him. Really honor him. Really praise him. Really glorify him. And all of it is because of what the Lord did for her. And I'm thankful for us. He can allow us to rejoice with her right now. Right now. By and through God's grace. I had seemingly scriptures on my mind that I've been a little bit in conflict. I don't know if you brethren ever get in conflict sometimes with what you're feeling impressed with. But sometimes old Gary gets in the way a lot. Well, not sometimes. That old boy's always in my way. The old flesh. There's always that warfare that goes on between the spiritual man and the outer man and the inner man. And I try the best I know how at times, and sometimes I don't do that, to follow the leadership of the Lord when I come before God's people. Sometimes a passage of scripture is kind of impressed on your mind and you think, well, you know, I don't know how suitable that will be. That's a problem. An old Baptist minister thoughts, thinking about it that way. I don't know whether that's what's really needed here, that's what's necessary. When we start supposing we know better than the Lord what it is God's little children need. When we do that, we start manufacturing, we start building something, we start creating something. If you've ever looked at the works of man, whenever he manufactures, builds, and creates, what does he make? A mess. And I sure don't want to come today among the people that are hungry and thirsty and present a mess. I pray that God would bless us to look for a moment at his word and that he would allow us by his grace to rejoice. Allow us by his grace to do what we should be doing, what we ought to be doing. To be thinking aright. I believe the hearts of God's little children that are pure, that are of the Lord, pure, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That heart is on track, but I sure believe the head gets messed up a whole lot. I believe God's little children need the gospel, the message of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. What Brother Joe has presented to us this morning to again help us to get our head on track, so that our head and our heart are in line and we're thinking righteously and soberly as the Lord would have us today. He told the young preacher Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4 He told him a great deal, but one verse that's on my mind, and I trust this is of the Lord, is verse 16 of the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. He told Timothy to not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given thee, he said, by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He told him in the 13th verse, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That is, that the minister might study. The purpose for the minister to study is that God's little children might be fed by the preaching of the gospel. To feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That's what he told Peter to do. The apostle Paul told the brethren at Ephesus, the elders that gathered at Ephesus, to feed the flock of God. Not to make the flock, not to create a flock. God has a flock. He has his people. He has his elect family. He has his sheep. He has his lambs. He has God's little children that have needs and troubles and conflict and problems in this world. They're suffering at times doctrinally in the sense they don't know what to believe and what to think about the God who has quickened them and made them alive. They're often sometimes downhearted, brokenhearted, beat up by this world. They get where they forget sometimes the things that they've known so well. They need to be reminded of it again and again. And the reason it's so beautiful to go into the courts of the Lord is there in the beauty of the temple of God, we are able to inquire of the Lord, and we hear the beauty of the Lord, and that's what we need to hear in the gospel. Amen. We hear about a God who's all powerful. Didn't it do you good to hear about a God who put that moon into the sky last night and just keeps it? You know why it's there? It's because he put it there. Put it there to rule the night. He didn't do it just so we'd have light at night. He's the light of the world. He gave light before he gave us the moon. But it does give us light. I'll tell you, on a dark night, it's awful good to have a bright moon. Yeah. It'll help you along the way. I'm telling you, in this old world, there's nothing like joining up with a little group of old Baptist brethren and seeing from them the light of the Lord Jesus Christ reflected as that sun shines off the moon. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ reflected on their faces. It's good for a minister in the pulpit to see those that he's speaking to are hungry and thirsty and not so weary and tired they're not attentive and alert. It's wonderful to see them hungry to hear, and what they want to hear about is, and they don't want to hear about politics. That's going on all on every hand. Now, they don't want to hear all the messages of this world. They want to hear what we've heard about this morning, about a God who has all power, and a God who has love for his children, and a God who had a people that he knew in covenant even before the foundation of the world, about a God that, as we read about him in Scripture, we'll never see a weak link in his plan or in his purposes in saving his people. We see a God who works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say, why doest thou? And brethren, we come today to humble ourselves before him. We told that young preacher Timothy, he said, take heed unto thyself. That's the first thing you and I need to do today. When we get bigoted, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. When we get to thinking we got all the answers, we need to realize we don't even know the questions. When we think we got a handle on it, think we can make it our way, there's a God big enough to wake us up and to show us what we can do. Even if your name is Nebuchadnezzar and you think you got it all together, he can bring you to the place that you see and understand, oh, there's a whole lot bigger person in this world than Nebuchadnezzar. And there's one who rules every, who is the God of gods. The Bible says that he is God, and beside him there is none other. The Bible teaches us there isn't a bunch of gods, and he's just the biggest one. Without him, there is no God. And he said, beside me, there is no Savior. That's the one we look to today. That's the one that I hear preached about that comforts my heart. That's the one I need. That's the friend I need, isn't it, you? When I'm in the storm, I need one who cannot fail. When I'm in the dark, I need one who is the light of the world. When I'm hungry, I need one who can feed me and can take care of me, the one who's in Korea or wherever else we go in this world. And I love the of God's people. It's like the shining of that bright moon in my life that allows me when I'm in the dark to see, oh, I see the light of the Lord. Isn't it beauty to see the light of the Lord in the land of the living and not be weary and faint? Brethren, I believe when we gather here today among God's little children, you're in the land of the living. Those that were dead, you had to quicken who were dead. He's given you life. And now, brethren, we've come together today to worship Him, the one who gave us life. We don't come to make sheep. We don't come to create sheep. We come to feed little lambs and little sheep. And God's little children gather here, and you don't want to hear any goat food. You want sheep food. You don't want anything that's going to make you sick. If I start telling you to trust in yourself, get put on your power of positive thinking, just build yourself up by your own bootstraps. If you'll just get it right, get it good enough, keep it good enough, you might make it barely by the skin of your teeth. You'll go out of here brokenhearted, and God's children in multiplied millions are going away from services, being fed that stuff, going away with broken hearts. You and I have been blessed by the grace of God with not the doctrines of devils or the doctrines of this world, but the doctrine, plural, singular, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he told. He said, Timothy, you get it. You stay in it. You abide in it. You hear it again. I need to hear it over and over again. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me it again and again. Somebody said, well, I just heard that last time. I believe I heard a lot of what Brother Joe preached today the last time I heard Brother Joe. But you know what? It's just as good, if not better, than it ever sounded to me this morning. Because to hear of a Savior who'd love an old thing like me, enough to die and send his only begotten son into this world, not in order to maybe get Gary if Gary would listen, but who reached down to where Gary was in the dung hills of this world and lifted me out of that dung and put my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth where we can just come together and praise the Lord. I hope we didn't just go through the motions this morning of singing a hymn. Sometimes we do, but brethren, when we do that, we're not taking heed unto ourselves. Taking heed unto yourselves requires that we do something. Now, you don't do something to get life. You do something because you got life. The Lord's given you life. You and I need to take heed unto ourselves. The ministers need to take heed unto themselves. But also, the membership needs to take heed unto themselves. Wherever God's children are, they need to take heed unto ourselves and to the flock. But first, to ourselves. He told Peter, when thou art strengthened, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. One of the things we must remember today when we're in trouble and brokenhearted is the good news we've heard. It doesn't take away all the pain, but it sure allows you to have peace in the midst of it. Listen, we love people. When we miss them, when they're gone, we're going to miss them. We miss them. We love them. I'll tell you one thing, there's a glad reunion awaiting God's little children that this scripture tells us about, that God has promised, a God who cannot lie, that is going to one day come, and he has come already and taken our dear little sister home, and we know she's present and with the Lord, and one day he'll come again, and he'll get every one of his children. Those we know, those we don't know, but we'll all know as we're known now. But isn't that good? Y'all believe that, right? Yeah. Now take heed of it, right? You remind one another of that. When we start getting in the world, let's remind one another of that. Let's remember that. Does that mean I put a smile on my face and just smile all the time? No, that's some false hypocrisy that isn't really showing the condition of the heart. Sometimes God's little children weep, and there's a time to weep. Sometimes they laugh, and there's a time to laugh. And when it's a time to weep, you ought not be laughing. And when it's a time to laugh, you ought not be weeping. And brethren, when we come together and talk about the Lord, it's a time to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, I say, in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Because worthy is He to be praised and honored and glorified and trusted in. You're not trusting in me today. I'm not worthy of that. You're not trusted in Brother Jamie as much as I love Brother Jamie. He wouldn't have you. It's not what he preaches. These brethren, that's what they say. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in him. Even the princes of man put no trust in man. Even the princes of man. Because in man there is no help. I'm telling you, in the Lord you have everything you need today. Take heed unto thyself. He said, and unto the doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of his sovereignty. The doctrine of his power. The doctrine that declares him as the Savior. The doctrine that says about his unmerited favor shown unto poor, weak, worthless individuals like you and I, and those that he loved, not just in hopes to get somebody, but he saw his people in covenant and he did everything that was necessary that they might be with him forever in heaven and immortal glory. And also freely has given us all things that we stand in need of. He said, take heed unto thee, unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Tell them over and over again. Speak them over and over again. Preach them over and over again. Sing the songs over and over again. Remind one another. Put them in the forefront of your eyes and wrap them so that they're before you. And I'm not saying literally do that, but I'm saying in our life, remember each and every day, he is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we do have in Jesus. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is our advocate. He is our light. He is our liberty. He is our all in all. And he says, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Is there a salvation in the gospel? Absolutely. There is a peace that comes in the gospel that you don't have outside of the gospel. Now, salvation is of the Lord. We know that all salvation is of the Lord. We draw from the wells of salvation. But the salvation that we have that will carry us one day to heaven and immortal glory and deliver us from hell is that which is a finished work by the Lord Jesus Christ, that which he has done for us. And he has also, though, given us a wonderful good news, the message of the gospel, to preach and declare to God's little children, when they're able, by the grace of God, by the faith God has given them, to embrace those things, believe them. I encourage you, brethren, let us, by faith, embrace the truth that's laid down in God's Word. And in preaching that, you save yourself. There's a deliverance in that. Listen, salvation. If I'm riding down the road and somebody comes up and tells me there's a something dangerous up ahead, sometimes you'll be riding down the road and somebody will blink lights at you and they may be telling you about a policeman who's going to get you right around the corner, or they may be telling you there's an animal that's out in the road and may be telling you a lot of things. You see those lights blinking at you and they save you in a timely sense. Do they get you to heaven in immortal glory? No, but they help you around the curve. I'm telling you, gospel preaching won't get you to heaven and immortal glory, but it will do this. It will give you rest and peace while you're living here in this world. It'll allow you to be able to stand up in the storm. It will, listen, your home in heaven is not dependent upon what men do and what men will not do. But the Lord has called men to preach the gospel to those that are going home to glory without the loss of one. And they declare that gospel unto them that they might have light shine on the life the Lord has given them.
Amen.
That they might know to avoid this. And there is an adversary that we all have. Peter lays it out real clearly over in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says this in verse 6. He says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. That's a great verse. Everything you got right now. And sometimes you have feelings you don't even know how to express them. Sometimes you have hurts you just don't know what to say about them. You don't know what to do. You don't even know how to pray. Sometimes you wonder if I can pray. And you say, I just don't know how to pray. The Bible says the Spirit maketh intercession for us with heart groanings. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
we can look to the Lord and cast all your cares. How many of them? All of them. It doesn't say reel them back in either. It says cast them. When you cast something out, sometimes you can reel it back in. Sometimes we do good at that. We cast it all there before the prayer's ended. Sometimes I'll reel them back in. And I say, Lord, I've turned it over to you. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. You know what happens? I go right out the door sometimes worried. Listen, I need to take heed unto myself when I'm doing that. Is that not true? He said, cast all your care upon him. You know why? Because he cares for you. You know, of all the messages in the Bible, there's none any better than that the Lord cares for you. Of all the wonderful good news in God's Word, there's nothing any better to know that he loves you. Because you see, if he loves you, that means so very much for you. We've already heard it. What can separate us from the love of God? Not anything. How long does God's love last? It's eternal. How long does God change his mind one day and say, I love you now, but all of a sudden then he says, I don't love you, and even worse than that, is God going to love you and then at the end of time cast you in eternal woe and have one that he loves burning in an eternal fire that the Bible certainly declares is real? There's a hell just as real as heaven is real. That good news for God's little children is because he cares for you, you've been delivered from hell, and you're not a recipient of his wrath, and you will receive that which he has purchased for you as his purchased possession, as his bride. You will be with him forever in heaven in immortal glory because he loved you that much. You didn't dress yourselves. He dresses you up. He made you accepted and beloved. And he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober is like being under control. It's just not under self-control. Sometimes I thought of it, I have thought about it as being self-control. I'll tell you what self-control will get you. Not much. I've been fighting weight all my life and trying to use a lot of self-control. You know how much that's worth? Not very much. I'm up, I'm down, because I'm fickle. And I've been battling that, but I'm telling you, it's not self-control. God's little children need to be God-controlled.
That's right.
We need to be looking to what he would have us to do. We need to be leaning on, take heed unto ourselves that he is guiding us. Before we speak, that he is guiding what I'm about to say. Before the minister comes in the stand praying, God, please guide me in what to say. And if I'm not following that, Lord, shut me up and let me not hurt one of God's little lambs. You see, it would be better for a millstone to be cast above my neck and cast over in the sea and drown than to offend one of God's little ones that he cares for. That's why we feed the flock of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, taking the oversight of the overseers, not overlords, but overseers, and that is to lead and guide the little lambs and sheep. How? As the Lord blesses you with liberty to preach the gospel, preach the doctrine, be faithful, stand it and walk in it, live it before God's little children. And like the moon shines forth the light, it isn't its light, it's a reflection of the light of the sun, God's little children shine as lights in this world as they reflect the light of the sun, the S-O-N. He's also called the S-U-N. He's the source of all light. He is the light of the world. Isn't that one? We don't serve a weak God. He says, be sober, be vigilant. That means awake. Watch. Brother James, a good pastor, has already warned you. Be awake. Be watchful. Why? Because your adversary. Do we have an adversary in this world? I'm telling you, you do. God's children sometimes make two mistakes. We give him way too much power, or we don't think he has any. Listen, he's an adversary. And he is doing what? He's our adversary, the devil. He's an accuser of the brethren. He is a liar. He is one who will fill your head with all kinds of stuff that would have you walk in a way that is not pleasing unto the Lord. He can bring you to a degree of bondage here in this world and have you bound up, as so many of God's old children, under the influence and bondage. The gospel message can set them free. The truth can set you free. If you continue in my word, he says, then are you my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. There's a liberty that's in knowing the truth. Amen. He says, first of all, it's something to know that he is our adversary, and that he is he is, you'll know where the influences are coming from. Sometimes you wonder, where is that coming from? Yeah. Well, sometimes it's coming out of the old self. It's not the devil who made me do it. It's coming out of the old self. But sometimes it's the influence. I heard a preacher a long time ago say this. One thing I can say, the only thing good I can say about the devil is he's not lazy. He's always bothering me. He's always there. He does. He'll come in a meeting like this, sit down with you, and as the preaching of the gospel is being sown in the room through the power of God, he will, when there's, when you make space for him, he will reach in and rob you of those wonderful things. Take your mind and thought on everything else. That's why you take heed unto yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. I heard my dad say one time, he's a roaring lion. That's all he can do is roar because the Lord's already knocked his teeth out. He doesn't have any way to bite you. He is protecting you. The Lord is greater than your adversary. Don't give him too much power. But he sure acts like he's got it. And if you follow that influence, he can lead you down. How many times has God's little children, have we at times been led down to a path with great regret because we followed his influence? Sometimes because we didn't know any better. That's why we're to be vigilant and sober and to be diligent to reading and study of God's Word, and sometimes even knowing we walk that way. I'm glad we can go to the Lord and say, forgive me, and we have forgiveness in the Lord through Jesus Christ, not because of us. Not even, we wouldn't even ask for forgiveness if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God, if it wasn't that unction of the Spirit in our heart. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, we're to do what? Take heed unto yourself, what? Resist him. Yep. How? Steadfast in what? The faith. And listen, you have the shield of faith given to you by Almighty God. You're told to put on the whole armor of God. Part of that armor is the shield of faith. And with that shield of faith, you're able to fight, to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. Thanks be to God for that. And he says, and resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One thing we can be sure of as God's little children, as sure as you're breathing, you're going to have trouble. The old devil would say, if you really got a child, you wouldn't be having this trouble. If you were really on track, this wouldn't happen to you. Listen, God's little children in this world are a few days and full of trouble. Job said it, and that's the truth. We will have those problems and those conflicts, but you've been given the armor of God. You put on that, and which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally, to put on Christ, put on that which he has given you. And as he's given you that shield of faith, be strong. Resist him in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I love verse 10. We'll close with that because I know time is here. He said, but the God of all grace. Oh, aren't you thankful our God is the God of all grace? Amen. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now, does that sound like we had anything to do with that? Did we and God get in agreement about that? Did we get ourselves in line for that? No. I'm telling you, he had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when God calls you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, you're going to his eternal glory. You know why? Because of Christ Jesus. That he didn't just do it and hoped it would get done. He speaks and it stands fast. He had no more problem with that than he did let there be light. And there was light. He says, after you have suffered a while. That's the part that's tough. He says, make you perfect. That is complete. Establish. Strengthen. Settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. Brethren, when we come together like we have this morning, we're able to share this with one another, it builds you up. It strengthens you. It is our responsibility. It's a present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But it does something for you. You hear the doctrine, you hear the truth, you learn, you grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, it increases and allows you to walk more close to Him, to have more intimate awareness of Him. He is with us all the time. He's with you every day. He's with you today. He'll be with you this afternoon. And whatever's coming, some difficult times are ahead of all of us. But He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the more we know and are aware of that, the sweeter those hours and those moments are going to be. And the scripture says, even unto death. May we take heed unto ourselves and be an encouragement to others of God's children. When we are converted, may we strengthen the brethren. Yeah, remind to pray. Remember me. God bless you. Amen.